Hey, asked my girls if they wanted to help me out tonight, and they left me hanging. That's all right. That's all right. A king met a beggar on a lonely road one day. A strange occurrence took place, as you will see. The beggar fell upon his face and he cried, "Oh, pardon me, I am unworthy in thy presence to be." The king looked at the beggar and he said, "You've been set free. Your sins are all forgiven and you've been born in royalty." And so the king and the beggar walked off arm in arm. You see, that king was Jesus and the beggar was me. He who was rich became so poor that a beggar rich might live. The Son of God became the Son of Man. That we poor fallen sons of men, the sons of God might be. I can't explain it, God's wondrous saving plan. And you've been born in royalty. And so the king and the beggar walked off arm in arm. You see, that king was Jesus and the beggar was me. And the king looked at the beggar and he said, "You've been set free. Your sins are all forgiven and you've been born in royalty." And so the king and the beggar walked off arm in arm. You see, that king was Jesus and the beggar was me. That king was Jesus and the beggar was me.
That's the truth, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Good thing he didn't have any help. We'd blow the roof off here tonight. Amen. I bet that's why they didn't help him. I bet they thought if we do that, this place would go crazy. You know, that reminds me. I want to commend all you mamas and daddies for doing such a good job having all the nursery kids in here for the last few weeks. Huh? I mean, haven't they done a good job? Say amen right there. Amen. I appreciate that. So they'll probably go ballistic on us tonight. But so I wanted to be sure to say that before that happened. How much I appreciate what a great job they're doing, the kids behaving well. Some of the parents are even behaving well. And it's just a blessing. Normally when we have a nursery, if there's one person that doesn't want to put their baby in the nursery, that one baby can disrupt the whole service for the whole time.
Yes, sir.
And yet when you have them all in here, they all do fine. I wonder what that means. I got a couple of thoughts about that. That has nothing to do with what I'm going to preach tonight. Could be that the ones that are in here are used to being in church all the time. Most of the time when somebody comes and they don't want to put their baby in the nursery, it's a visitor. And their baby's not used to being in church. That's just a theory. I got another theory. Some people don't know how to take care of business when they take the baby out. Okay, let me move right on. I'd like to go to the book of Judges, the last chapter and the last verse of the book of Judges. If you, if this is your first service back from quarantine. Oh, that reminds me of something else. Daniel Manusis told me that he's a paramedic, and he brought some masks. If there's anybody here, you don't have a mask, you don't know where to get a mask, and you'd like to have a mask, there'll be some out in the foyer, and that piece of furniture that's got drawers at the top. So if you need one, feel free to take one. Just don't handle them all to get one.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Are we okay with that?
Yeah.
I don't want to wear a mask that 27 people have been rubbing their hands on.
Right.
So, we're in the age of no common sense, so I just thought I'd throw that out there.
Yeah.
Just get one by the string, maybe, lift it out of there, fold it up, put it in your pocket or purse, or put it on your face. Whatever floats your boat. That'd be a good thing to do. Here in the book of Judges, the book of Judges is about some people who should have been being blessed, but instead they were being judged. Hence the name of the book, Judges. And I've been preaching on, ever since coronavirus started, when God turns judgment into a blessing. Because there's always a purpose for judgment. It's not just to be mean to people. It's to get... See, did I prophesy that or what? Sorry, it had to be you, Erica. You should have sent Chris out with the baby. But I'm sure Brother Chris probably just said, "Hey, this will be something." I'm the man, you take it. But that's just the way things work. They should have been being blessed, and instead they were being judged. As a nation. I've already preached a sermon on the judgment of an individual in the person of Saul, King Saul in the Old Testament. The judgment of God on a family in the family of Eli the priest in 1 Samuel chapter 2. And then a citywide judgment, the ever popular message on Sodom and Gomorrah. And God judged the entire city. And then we get to the judgment of a nation where Joshua had led the children of Israel victoriously into the land of promise, the land that flowed with milk and honey, and had grapes so big it took two men with a pole to carry one bunch of grapes. Brother Lester Roloff said, during the millennium, the grapes were going to be so big that he was going to eat the inside of the grape and use the outside of the grape for a shower cap. So I guess if you had a bunch and it had 100 grapes on it, it'd probably be pretty heavy. They had this opportunity to enjoy the land of Canaan, where God was just going to bless them. They were going to have victory over their enemies. They were going to have to fight. So it's not a picture of heaven. Some people think Canaan is a picture of heaven. It's not a picture of heaven. You don't have to fight in heaven. But as long as you're in this world, you're supposed to fight. Now, when I say that, I understand that probably 90% of the moms nowadays teach their children you never fight. Let me say, you're doing your child a great disservice. There are some things worth fighting for.
Amen.
And lest you misunderstand me, I'm talking about physically fighting. I'm not talking about verbally jousting. I'm talking about, okay, you already tried that, it's not working. And the only thing the flesh understands is what? That's the only thing the flesh understands is the flesh. So some people, you can say anything you want to say, they're never going to get it. And one, in the nose, and they got it. They got it. And they won't forget it. Now, I hesitate to say that because here is the world, again, after the service, out in the parking lot, somebody's going to duke it out. And I hope that prophecy doesn't come to pass. But in public schools today, fighting is a worse problem as far as being disciplined than drugs. If you get caught with dope, they're going to tell you don't do that again. You get caught fighting, they're going to kick you out of school. You get expelled. They won't expel you for dope. They expel everybody for dope in the public school. They have no school left. And I say that's got everything upside down. It's got everything messed up. And for you on the internet who are already freaking out on me, please send all your emails to my wife. Because she's better at ignoring them than I am. They should have been enjoying the victories of whipping over 30 kings. I'm talking about taking over. They simply rolled into Canaan land and said, "We're taking over." And they said, "No, you're not." They whooped them and then they took over. America would be a greater country today if we owned Germany, Italy, Vietnam, Korea, Iraq, Iran, Afghanistan. By the way, we saved Saudi Arabia's bacon. We ought to own that too. And we pumped all that oil that they wouldn't have if it hadn't been for us saving their hide.
Right.
We wouldn't have a financial problem in America.
Right.
Keep those cards and letters coming. You know nobody believes in that anymore.
Yeah.
I shouldn't say nobody because I do. But I'm sure I will get corrected on how that I'm obviously misunderstanding something. But Canaan is, typology is the land of spiritual fullness. It's a typology of being filled with the Spirit of God and fighting the good fight of faith and overcoming our enemies, the world, the flesh, the devil, rotten religion.
Yes.
And God blessing and people being helped and holy and happy and victorious. Does that sound good to anybody besides me?
Yes.
That's not going to happen without a fight.
Right.
Just because you come to church does not mean you're going to be holy, happy, and helpful to other people. Some people come to church, but they're so selfish, they're not going to do anything that's a sacrifice to them. They're going to come to church and enjoy the sacrifices of other people. So, I should have been enjoying the blessings, but instead, they're being judged by God because of a cycle that keeps repeating in the book of Judges several times. They take for granted the blessings of God, and they drift into worldliness and sin. And that's a picture of America today. God's been good to America. We were founded on Christian principles. Now see, there, church, that's the way you do it. If mama can't get the job done, send daddy up. Daddy can get the job done. Which is why mamas always prefer to try first. How out of date is that? But ever since Dr. Spock started teaching us how to rear children, he forgot the rear in rear.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Right.
That's right.
Yeah.
And so they would sin. Then, as always, their sin would produce suffering. Have you figured out yet that sin causes you to suffer? If you haven't figured that out yet, please get this point. If you don't get any other point tonight, the more you sin, the more you're going to suffer. The more you sin, the more your children are going to suffer. The more your family is going to suffer. Sin never goes unpunished. You just think it does. But it never goes unpunished. Sin brings suffering. Right. Suffering eventually causes people to humble themselves and pray. If the suffering gets bad enough, even an atheist will pray. I don't know who they're going to pray to. But I heard a story about a shipwreck and a man that survived that shipwreck. And he said when the ship was going down, there were not very many Christians on board. But when they were in the water and the sharks were circling, they were all crying out to God. There are no atheists when you're in the ocean and you see dorsal fins circling around you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you don't have a way to get out of the water. And you hear a scream, and the water turns red. Because the shark just took half a man off. There are no atheists in that situation. They'll tell you they don't believe in God. But you let it get that bad, they're going to call out to him just in case.
Yeah.
Suffering brings supplication. Supplication to God will bring a savior. Or in the book of Judges, they're called a deliverer. God would save them from their enemies by sending a deliverer, a type of Jesus Christ, going to the cross for our sins and dying in our place so that
we can trust what he did for us and go free and go to heaven when we die, because he paid our sin debt in full and offered us the free gift of everlasting life. And if we'll just say, thank you, Lord, I will trust you for that gift. Thank you for saving me and forgiving me. But you know what would happen after that cycle was complete, from sin, suffering, supplication to a Savior? You know what would happen? How they would enjoy the blessings of God for a while, and then they'd start drifting again. Which is why we need preaching. Amen. Every week. Amen. You don't get preaching, your heart's going to drift. Amen. Your life is going to drift. You've got to have preaching. Right. If you can't get here, get online. You've got to have preaching. Amen. You need some strength. Sometimes hard to swallow preaching. But that's what you need. This modern day contemporary, everything's good and everything's lovely and everybody's nice, amen, is straight out of hell. Amen. It lulls people to sleep in this Laodicean church age to where they feel good about themselves even though they are living in sin. Amen. They have an opportunity to enjoy this promised land. My text, in case you think I don't have one, is that last verse in the book of Judges. Hopefully you're there by now. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Or in other words, no rules. That's why I quit going to church. I didn't like all those rules. Mm-hmm. Yep, you're described right here. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. That redneck crowd that doesn't like rules, amen, so they go to a cowboy church where everybody comes however they want to come, believes whatever they want to believe, and then they go out and rope and ride and barbecue.
Yeah.
That's every man doing that which is right in his own eyes.
Right.
You go to one of those churches and open this Bible and rear back and preach, and they'll scatter like a covey of quail. Just like the say nothing non-denominational churches, and the say nothing Baptist churches, and the say nothing Methodist churches, and the say nothing Church of Christ. And the same, on and on and on, we can list every denomination in America today, because most of them say absolutely nothing.
Right.
They embrace the verse where every man did that which was right in his own eyes. They don't believe this Bible is the final authority for all matters of faith and practice. They believe their own mind is their final authority for all matters of faith and practice. In other words, if I believe it's okay, then it's okay. If I believe it's wrong, then it's wrong. That's the standard people use nowadays. That way they can do that which is right in their own eyes because they believe it's okay for them, which brings up the whole alternate lifestyle subject too. They don't see anything wrong with it, and they think you're some kind of bigot if you do see something wrong with it. Well, we get this being bigoted, so-called, from the Word of God that says it's an abomination. I think I covered that when I was preaching on Sodom and Gomorrah. In case you missed it, I thought I'd throw it in there. There was no king. Nobody to tell them this is allowed, this is not allowed. No rules. So every man did that which was right in his own eyes. What does that lead to? Let's back up a few verses from our text. I read verse 25. Everybody's doing what they think's right. Go back to verse 21. And see, and behold, if the daughters of Shiloh come out to dance in dances. Now, this is the tribe of Benjamin. And they're being told, go over here and kind of hide out and wait and see if these daughters of Shiloh come out to dance and dances. Then come ye out of the vineyards and catch you every man his wife. Now, wait a minute. What are they being told to do? Just hide over here in the forest. And when these women come out, just pick the one you like. Go grab her, haul her off, and that'll be your wife. You know what that's going to lead to? A lot of wickedness.
Yeah.
And a disaster.
Right.
Now, wait a minute, though. Wait. I almost think that's what we're doing in America today.
Yeah.
When young men go to a bar to look for a girlfriend, I see the same thing playing out.
Yes, sir. You're right.
Some of you got your wife at a bar, no doubt. I won't ask for a show of hands. I know you hadn't always been in church. You hadn't always been saved. Some of y'all met in a bar. You ought to bow your head and say, thank God, praise the Lord that this worked out. It didn't have much of a chance.
Amen.
God's sure been good to me.
Amen.
I mean, somebody in here, amen, I just ought to do that. Because you know you didn't deserve what you got.
Amen.
You just took a look around and said, I want that one right there. And I'm sure you picked out the ugliest one you could find, right? Isn't that what everybody does? No, they do that which is right in their own eyes. So here come the girls, they're dancing. Here's all the Benjamite warriors looking for a wife. They probably got scars all over their face. They look like a UFC fighter. Their ears are probably this big. As Curly used to say, the Three Stooges, and a cauliflower ear. The daughters of Shiloh come out to dance in dances. Then come ye out of the vineyards and catch you every man his wife for the daughters of Shiloh and go to the land of Benjamin. Grab the one you like. Take off, head to Benjamin. That's the way we're going to build our family. Ay-ya-ya. Verse 22. And it shall be when their fathers or their brethren come unto us to complain, what do you think? You think these girls' dads might complain a little bit if you grab that daughter and take off to some other land?
Yeah.
And when they come and say, hey, what are you doing? This is my wife. What do you mean, what am I doing? This is my wife. Are there brethren or brothers come? Say, hey, we want our sister back. No, this is my wife. That we will say unto them, be favorable unto them for our sakes. Be nice. Let's play nice. Oh, yeah, like you did. Run over there and hide out and grab whichever one you want. Take off with her. That's not being favorable. That's not playing nice. Here's my point with this. When people get off into sin and they do that which is right in their own eyes, there is no limit to the depravity that they will sink into and believe it's okay.
You're right.
Now let's go get us a dancer. Yeah, where are you going to look for a wife? I'm going to a gentleman's club. I'm going to find me a dancer. Good luck with that. That's about how silly these guys are to think they're going to get a good wife. Going to the dance hall. I guess this was the dance pasture. Good place to find a cow. Be favorable unto them for our sakes, because we reserve not to each man his wife in the war, For ye did not give unto them at this time that ye should be guilty. Verse 23. And some of y'all are not having as much fun of this as I am, so I apologize to you for having so much fun at your expense. And the children of Benjamin did so and took them wives according to their number of them that danced, whom they caught. You know, the Bible is an amazing book. Is this an amazing book or what? Is this amazing that God would have this put in the Bible for all eternity? These dancer chasers looking for wives. If they could just catch them. How embarrassing would that be if everybody got a wife but you? Hey, bro, where's your wife? She ran like a deer. I could not catch that girl. I mean, I looked and I said, yeah, there's the one I want right there. Yum. Little did he know she'd been in the Olympics. Whom they caught, and they went and returned unto their inheritance and repaired the cities and dwelt in them. Verse 24. And the children of Israel departed thence at that time, every man to his tribe and to his family. And they went out from thence, every man to his inheritance. I mean, the Lord had divided up the land. This portion's for this tribe. This portion's for that tribe. This portion's for the other tribe. These Benjamites were known as being great warriors. They were left-handed. All these Benjamite warriors were left-handed. And they were experts with a slingshot. That's the one like David used with Goliath. You whoop that thing around in a circle like that, and it's got two pieces of leather, or nowadays maybe they use surgical tubing. But they're whirling that thing around like that, and you let go of one end and send that rock flying. When I was a boy, I read about David and Goliath, and I decided I was going to make me a slingshot, and I was fixing to start killing giants. So I made one, and I got out there, and the first rock that I let go, I don't even know which direction it went. And I decided, this is not going to be as easy as I thought it was going to be. I was thinking I would do, well, I was going to cheat and do it right-handed. I couldn't hit the barn if I was standing in front of the barn the first couple of shots, because I never knew which direction that rock was going to go. Now, for David to hit the giant right in the forehead first shot, that's pretty impressive. And these guys were left-handed, and the Bible says they were so accurate with a slingshot, they could sling that rock at a hair's breadth. You know, you've probably seen an old western where a guy's got a cigar and some guy rides on his horse and bang, shoots the cigar out of his mouth. That's pretty good shooting. Or maybe William Tell, you know, the apple on the head. Shoots the apple off the head with a bow and arrow. But what about taking a slingshot and throwing that rock left-handed and somebody's holding a hair and you hit it? I'd say you want to think twice before you go to war against those guys. Back in the days of it being mostly hand-to-hand combat, and before you can get close enough to use your sword, you'd have caught three rocks in your forehead. That'd be pretty devastating. So this story is about dancing and partying. You say, where are you getting partying? They're catching women. Sounds like they're having a party to me. That's what they do in the movies. To this day. Fight. The only difference is they don't try to get away. They're fighting. They're partying. They're dancing. They're doing that which is right in their own eyes, and it is appalling what people believe are right nowadays. Okay. Well, I don't see anything wrong with it, preacher. I don't ever get convicted about it. You might not be a good gauge of what's convicting and what's not convicting. Because you're all about doing what's right in your own eyes. That happens when a nation is ripe for judgment. They get to the point that nothing is wrong if they believe it's okay. I remember, you remember being in high school, you're always trying to get the teacher off the subject. Can I see a show of hands right there? Anybody admit to that? Oh, yeah. Those that didn't do that, what did you do for fun when you were growing up? No, never mind. Don't answer that. I still remember my ag teacher would get those discussions going sometime, and he'd get to talking about, you know, what we believe is right and what we believe is wrong. And there's one particular guy in my FFA class, Future Farmers of America. And he would always say when we had that discussion, I believe if I think it's okay, then it's okay for me. I wasn't even a preacher back then, and I knew this verse. And I would think, that'd be every man doing that, which is right in his own eyes. That would be chaos. But this guy would say that every time we had that discussion. So he believed that back in the 60s. Oh, by the way, there was a lot of people that believed that back in the 60s. They were called hippies. They believed dope was okay. They believed going to Woodstock and taking all their clothes off was okay and doing all kinds of things while they were doing that. It was all okay. Doing that which is right in their own eyes. And so what happened after people living like this for some period of time comes to the book of Ruth, the very next verse, Ruth chapter 1, verse 1. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. Here comes the judgment of God. Every man's doing that which is right in his own eyes. So God sends a famine to the land. Basically meaning grocery stores are empty. No food on the shelves. You know, we thought it was bad when there was no toilet paper. The whole country was making jokes about toilet paper because you go to the store, shelves are bare. No toilet paper, no paper towels. It's like the end of the world. Well, what are we going to do? Quit throwing away your newspapers and magazines. Use those paper thin washcloths. Fold them up 3 times. At least you can wash them when you get done. Use them again. You'll never run out. You'll never run out of toilet paper if you got a washing machine. You'll never run out of diapers if you got a washing machine. I have personally folded a kitchen towel and made a diaper out of it. So I hope if you come and eat with us, you don't get that towel. that has been 40 years ago, so probably it's been used, for a mechanic rag by now. I'm telling you, we still got it good when you got disposable diapers and toilet paper and paper towels. Y'all can just bow your head and say, thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. You've been good to me. Because I don't even know what this crazy preacher's talking about tonight. There was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. He said, there's no food here in Bethlehem, which means what? The house of bread. No food? You're going to leave the house of bread? Because you think there's no food? Preacher, we're going to another church. You know, we just don't get fed anymore. No, what it was is I preached one of these sermons like this because I was worming you. So that when you did eat bread, you could flourish. Amen. Brother Wood was preaching one time at Dr. Ruckman's in Pensacola, Florida. And he got through preaching, and a guy walked up there, and he had one of those Bibles, you know, that's this thick. He carried it under his arm like this. He marched up there to Brother Wood when he got through preaching, and he said, you didn't feed me tonight. Because he was used to somebody giving him 37 verses of Scripture and tying it all together with a nice ribbon. And Brother Wood just looked at him and said, I didn't come to feed you, cowboy. I came to worm you.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
You'll be in the livestock business long, you'll believe in worming. You won't have a horse in Harris County or Montgomery County without worming them on a regular basis. You won't have a horse for long because the worms will devour them. You say, how do you know? Because I've been there and done that. I grew up out there in West Texas where the worms couldn't even survive. We never wormed my horse. I had a horse all my life growing up. We never wormed that horse. You didn't need to worm them out there. The ground was clean. The air was clean. Everything was clean. So when I got a horse out there at East River Baptist Church, I built a little pen right behind the church, put my horse in. I never even thought about worming because I'd never done that. I'd worm cattle, but for some reason it never clicked in my brain to need to worm a horse. Because I've never done that with my horse, and that didn't bother me. My horse kept losing weight. I kept increasing the feed. He kept losing more weight. And finally, it ran out in front of a logging truck to escape from me, I guess. And the logging truck won. And I was out of town at a meeting, and somebody else had to deal with it. Thank you, Brother Brownie, for taking care of that for me. Yes, it was a famine. There was no food. And he takes his family and says, we're going to leave the house of bread and we're going to go to Moab, which I don't have time to give you the history of Moab, but that's probably a bad decision. That'd probably be like leaving a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church and going to a contemporary, compromising, believe anything you want to church.
Yeah, right.
That's Moab.
Oh, yes.
But what happens is this man dies, his two sons die. Because it's the judgment of God. Everybody's dying. They thought, we got to go where there's food. You know what? They died where there was food.
Yep.
Better to have no food and be at the house of bread than to go to Moab and have plenty of bread and die anyway.
Yes, sir.
So they took wives or the Moabites. One was Orpah, verse 4. I mean, that's almost like Oprah. Evidently, her mama just juxtapositioned two letters. She thought she was getting a Bible name, but she got the R and the P mixed up. No, that's really not what happened. One of their favorite Hollywood people was Harpo. H-A-R-P-O, Harpo Marx. And they named her after Harpo Marx. Only they turned his name around backwards and got Oprah out of Harpo. She should have went with a Bible name. The name of the other, Ruth, and they dwell there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them, and the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. And they, chapter 2, verse 2, and Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, go, my daughter. You know, Ruth had said, Naomi told Ruth, you need to go back to your family. I'm leaving this country. I've lost everything. I'm going home. And you should go back. Verse 16, chapter 1, Ruth said, I entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee, for whither thou goest, I will go, and whither thou lodgest, I will lodge. People use that a lot of times at a wedding, but it's really talking about a mother-in-law and a daughter-in-law.
Yep.
I don't ever hear anybody use it for that, for some reason. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. I'm going where you go. I'm going to live where you live. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. Yeah. She had been such a good testimony to this Moabite that this Moabite, in spite of all of her false gods that her family had obviously had, she knew that Ruth had something she didn't have, or that Naomi had something she didn't have. Chapter 4, verse 13. The whole love story's gotten into high gear here. Verse 13, so Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. Now, he didn't have to chase her and catch her. They loved each other. That's a better path. And when he went in unto her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. And the women said unto Naomi, blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. And he shall be like unto thee a restorer of thy life, and a nourisher of thine old age, for thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons, hath borne him. And Naomi took the child and laid it on her bosom and became nurse to it. And the women, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, there is a son born to Naomi, and they shall call his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David, who is the great-great-great-great-grandpa of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm talking about how God can turn judgment into a blessing.
Amen.
Do I believe this whole coronavirus thing is a judgment? Yes, absolutely I do. I believe it's a judgment. Had America not gotten so careless and sensual and wicked, perhaps we could have avoided coronavirus. Maybe not. But one thing is for sure, God can turn it in to a blessing. I dare say he already has turned it into a blessing in many cases.
Yeah.
He got our church praying when Brother Lutric was up there on a ventilator and in intensive care for 32 days, and they were just thinking he was not going to make it. And we were praying. The whole country was praying. And here he sits tonight, an overcomer of coronavirus. And I don't know, how long were you in the coma? He's in a coma for, did you say 18 or not? 18 days on the ventilator, 25 days. No, I got that wrong. 18 days in a coma, 25 days on the ventilator. You know a whole lot of people that get on the ventilator for 25 days don't ever get off of it? We got to see the hand of God. And our faith got encouraged because we prayed and God heard and God answered. And I say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Now, one reason that we're still praying for Sister Dolores, she's had that chemo and the chemo has worked. And that tumor, the doctors hadn't been able to find it, but when the tumor was there, they tagged it. So when they would do an x-ray, they would know exactly where the tumor was in case it got hard to find. But guess what happened? They got where they couldn't find it. But the tag's still there. So they're going to go in there, do a biopsy right next to this tag. And then they're going to do the surgery the next day. Keep praying, church. They're liable to get in there and do the biopsy and say, there's no point in doing this surgery.
Right.
Now they also might go in there and decide, well, we know there's something there. We saw it before, so we're going to go in there. I remember when Brother Leroy Dalrymple had cancer, melanoma stage 4 in his neck. This has been many years ago. Brother Lutric and I, John Thompson, David Wood, Brother Jack Wood. Was any of you other guys there? Were you there, Brother Bobby? He was there. And we got to praying. I mean, they're fixing to do the surgery on his neck. And they go in there, and they cut him open. And then they sewed him back up because they said, we don't know where that thing went, but it's gone, so we can't take out what's not there. He said, I don't believe that. I'm telling you, we were sitting in the waiting room when the doctor came out and told us that. He said, I don't believe things like that still happen. Well, they did. 35 years ago, we saw God raise up Brother Lutric. We've seen Sister Dolores be a champion of strength and grace and faith to the point that her husband decided, I need to get saved.
Amen.
I don't have what this woman's got. And he testified about that Wednesday night, if you were not here. And we shouted the victory. Such a blessing. Well, I just don't believe God still works like that. Well, we do. Now, we don't believe, like some people teach, that we can go around commanding God what to do. You're being presumptuous when you start holding your Bible up and telling God what He has to do. But we sure believe if we'll ask Him, and if it's His will, He can still do it.
Amen.
So just keep praying, church. Keep praying for Brother Lutric. He's got to build his strength back. 25 days on a ventilator, and you don't have much strength left. So he was using the walker, but now I see the walker's gone. He walked in here tonight. You, Lord willing, he'll walk out. Praise the Lord. The Lord is good. His mercy endureth forever and ever to all generations. So I will stand up and sing praise, hallelujah, for I know the Lord is good. I won't do that second verse. Jack always kind of gets tickled when I do the second verse. But this Moabitess ends up in the genealogy of Jesus Christ. I mean, Rahab, the harlot, is in his genealogy. Ruth, the Moabitess, is in his genealogy. You know what that tells us? The grace of God is for everybody.
Amen.
Yes. Well, hallelujah.
It's for everybody. And if you're here tonight and you deserve the judgment of God, God can turn that into a blessing. You just come down here and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Would you have mercy on me? I've done wrong. I'm sorry. I want to repent of the way I've been living, and I want you to help me live right. I want to do the will of God. My family needs help. I need help. Lord, would you please help me? I'll tell you, he will turn your judgment into a blessing.
Glory, hallelujah.
Would you stand? Father, I pray you bless the message tonight. Help somebody, Lord, to find their way to this altar. Maybe they felt like their life has been under judgment for the last few months. Everything's going wrong, and it's spiraling out of control. I pray, Heavenly Father, you turn their judgment into a blessing tonight by giving them the peace and the joy and the hope that only comes from trusting in Jesus Christ. Lord, we confess to you we have sinned. And it has brought suffering. And now we're supplicating. We're praying. Lord, have mercy on us and forgive us. Bless us in spite of all this coronavirus deal. And whatever is coming next, I pray, Father, you'd help us to stay bowed before you. So we can see the Savior to deliver us from this world and all its troubles and suffering and sorrows. Save that sinner, Lord, that's so close to hell, they can smell the smoke tonight. Bring them to the cross where Jesus Christ has paid their sin debt in full. May they trust him as their personal Savior. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. What number, brother?
Hymn number 277 in your soul, starting hymn book.
Come every soul by sin oppressed, there's mercy with the
that washes.
Don't wait. You can be fully blessed when you walk out the door tonight.
Only trust Him. Only trust Him. Only trust Him now. He will save you. He will save you. He will save you now.
Or you can do what's right in your own eyes and see how that works out. But the Bible will show you how this is going to work out. I just pray that you get right, get saved, glory, this side of the grave.
Yeah.
Because the other side of the grave, you'll be getting saved. Your fate will be sealed when you draw your last breath.
Yeah.
You think you've got plenty of time, but all it takes is one little corona.
Yeah.
Put you in a grave. And you can't see it. You won't know that you've got it till it takes over. Mm. I believe if I was you, I'd just go ahead and do business with God tonight.
Amen.
I don't believe I'd put it off. Children usually think they got forever to make this decision. And all these viruses floating around, you don't.
Right.
I'd advise you, I'd do business with, just go ahead and do business with God. Trust Jesus Christ. Get sick of your sins, sick of yourself. Trust Jesus Christ to save you.
Yes, sir.
Then it's all taken care of. Yeah. If you get it, amen. First class ticket to heaven.
Yeah.
For all eternity. We're glad God spared Brother Luther.
Yes.
We sure were going to miss him if he hadn't made it.
Yeah.
And it was looking mighty dim there for a while. But he made it. I've watched him long enough to know that he'll give God the glory.
Yeah.
He'll be thankful. Brother Jack Luther, would you dismiss us in prayer, please?
Lord, I want to say thank you, Lord, for being a good God. Lord, and I want to thank you for saving my daddy. Lord, I want to thank you for bringing him to the church and introducing him to God. Lord, and giving us a life worth living for. Lord, I thank you for his testimony. Lord, I thank you for your grace and your goodness. Lord, I'm one lucky man. Lord, I thank you for your goodness. Lord, I pray that you bless us as we go home now. I love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. You're dismissed. Good to have you in church tonight.